like this. Our hearts and our minds are open to hear your word. We receive your word with clarity, with simplicity. As your word is taught, Christ is revealed much more to us. We behold Christ as he sees us in him. We are his glorified and we are edified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have your seat. So, we started off on a topic, rather, the concept of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just look at some key things we looked at last week as we progress. We said that the gift of God is in man, or is in the man that God uses. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. I think scripture, Ephesians 4. Be the one, make it plainly plain to me. And I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, and with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. So, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift to men. And we say that word, he gave gift to men, is the word that will imply he gave gift as men. Hallelujah. Kai dedomi domaho anthropos, in gave gift as men. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He gave gift as men. So we said, we saw the fact that the gift of God, or God's gift, is in the man God uses. Much more, we looked at much more the elders of the local church. Hallelujah. The elders of the local church. And we saw that the elders of the local church are not just the gray-headed people. Hallelujah. They are the, how do you even put it? These are the leaders, hallelujah, of the local church. And we said they are given to teach the word, to get us equipped for the work of ministry, which is spiritual growth. Which is spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. So we said, they are given to teach the word, to get us equipped for the work of ministry, which is spiritual growth. We saw that. We saw it from 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 16 to 17. It said, all scripture are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for correction, epatonosis, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Is it that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Hallelujah. And we see the same thing in Ephesians 4:11-16. He gives some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the defining of the body of Christ. We will come to the unity of faith and to the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Hallelujah. So, we also saw again that spiritual growth, where to? He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have he entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. What man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that have been given to us of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it said, Colossians 1, 26 into 27, okay. Colossians 1, 26 into 27. I'll read. It said, the mystery, look, I'll start from verse 25. It said, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Hallelujah. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you,
the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we said that the epistles are the revelation of the Old Testament scriptures. You know, Paul will refer from where we've read Colossians, Corinthians, and Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 3. Paul will refer to the Old Testament writings as mysteries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul will now say that, you know, our path, our role is to read. That is the word anagnoske, to read thoroughly. Hallelujah. Our role is to read thoroughly. The epistles are the revelation. Hallelujah. Are the revelation of the Old Testament scriptures. And when he talks about scriptures, remember I said it refers to the Old Testament writings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So meaning the epistles, as we said, explains the Old Testament to us. Hallelujah. We also saw that the scripture bore witness of Christ, right? John chapter 5. Quickly. John chapter 5 verse 39. John 5 39. Are you there? John 5 39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testifies of me. He said, you search the scripture because you think in them you have eternal life. But rather the scriptures testify of me. What Jesus spoke about is that the scripture bore witness of him. Let's look at that word, testify. It's the Greek word material. It's the Greek word material. M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. Material. That's the word testify. Let's look at how that word is used in John's gospel. We know that in John. Hallelujah. Let's see how John uses that word, material, in John's gospel. John chapter 1, verse 7. John 1, 7. Said, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that through him we might believe. Let's look at from verse 6. Who is he referring to? Verse 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness. That's the word. This man came for a testimony, to testify. Did you get that? Did you understand? To a witness. To bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Take note of that word. Look at verses 8. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Did you see that? Look at verses 15. He said, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. 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 Look at verses 15. That's what it says. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Hallelujah. John bore witness of him. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man. You see John speaking. Who is preferred before me? For he was before me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, look at verse 32. It says, and Joseph bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him. Verse 34. And I've seen, and God, I say, I have seen and testified, that's the word, testified, that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So, all through John 1 from verse 7 to verse 34, we saw John's witness of Christ. Hallelujah. John bore witness of Christ. Look at chapter 3, verse 11. I'll start from verse 10. And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Did you see that? Why would Jesus speak like this? Who was he talking about? Talking about Jesus, I'm talking about, you know, remember, look at John 1:18, so that you have why Jesus will speak like this. John 1:18. He says, no one has seen God at any time. Say, the only begotten of the Father in the bosom, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Now, what declared him is the word exegoma. It means he had explained him. So, Jesus is the explanation of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? It means to explain something, to declare, to explain by word of mouth and action. Do you understand me? To explain somebody or to explain an event. Do you understand me? So, when he says Jesus is the explanation of God. Do you understand that? Why would he say so? Look at John 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him is anything made that is made. See, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. Look at verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. He said, and we beheld the glory. We beheld his glory. He said, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Say, full of grace and truth. Full of grace, which is truth. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Full of grace. He now said in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He said, he had declared him. He had what? Declared him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus explains the Father. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. No wonder I can answer in John chapter 14. He says, now said to Philip, have you seen me and you still ask me, surely me the Father? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Did you understand that? He who has seen me, because he explains the Father. That word exegeta means to explain someone personally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now, in chapter 3, he's now speaking to Nicodemus. He said, the things that we speak are the things, or the things that we, the things we speak are the things we know and testify. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You find the same word in verse 36 of that same John 3, verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 39. Make sure you write it. Chapter 4, verse 39. Chapter 4, verse 44. Chapter 4, verse 44. Chapter 5, verse 31. Verse 33, verse 36, verse 37. Chapter 7, verse 7. 18, verse 23. 18, verse 37. Hallelujah. Chapter 19, verse 35. Chapter 21, verse 24. Let's look at how Paul uses the word. Romans 3:21. That word, material. Romans 3:21. Are you Romans 3? Let's look at verse 21. Now he said, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Say, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, is a true faith in Jesus Christ. Now look at that verse 2. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed.
being witnessed by the Lord. Did you see that? Meaning, listen to this. He said, the righteousness of God apart from the law. We're going to look at this tomorrow. Do you understand me? It's revealed. He said, being witnessed by the law. Did you get that? So, the law is just a type and shadows. Do you understand me? Now, it has to be witnessed by the law and the prophet. Now, listen to this. He said, the righteousness of God apart from the law is what is witnessed by the who? By the prophet. Now, when it says be witnessed by the law and the prophet, when it talks about witness by the law and the prophet, it's referring to even to Moses and the prophets. I mean, the prophets bore witness of God's righteousness apart from the law. And what is he referring to? The gospel. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, meaning the prophet bore witness of God's righteousness. Do you understand me? God's righteousness. The prophet bore witness of God's righteousness. Look at chapter 10, verse 2. Chapter 10, verse 2. I'll read from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Did you see that? I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4. Verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and to those who are at Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 5:10. Bear witness. 1 Timothy 5:10. He says, okay, verse 9, do not let the widow under 60 years be taken into the number, and not unless he had been a wife of one man. Well reported of good works, if she had brought up children, if she had launched strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had received the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, but refused the younger widows. Are you with me? Okay, sorry. Look at that verse 10. It says, well reported of good works. That is the word. That is the word, what? Material. To report, well reported, hallelujah, having a good witness of good works, hallelujah. Chapter 6, verse 13. It says, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. So the word material is the word that implies to bear a witness or testimony. To bear a witness or testimony. Much more a good testimony about someone or an event. That's more material. To bear a good report about someone or an event. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, material means to bear a good report. When you bear good report, it's called back to you. Hallelujah. 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 So what Jesus said in essence is that the Old Testament bears a good witness of himself. You understand me? So what Jesus said, remember what we were reading is from John 5:39. Now, what Jesus said is that he said, these are they that bore witness of me. That means what Jesus is saying is that the Old Testament scriptures bore a good witness of him. A good witness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look,
And we see that in Luke 24, verse 25 to 26.
Hallelujah.
It's a beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Himself.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says, and all things, which are verse 44, we now say all things. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophet and the Psalms concerning me. Did you get that? So it is centered on who? On him. Glory to God. So therefore, we could conclude that the scripture is centered on Christ, which make Christ the explanation of the Old Testament scriptures. You know, we have different studies. We have the theology, which is the study of the scriptures. We have eschatology, the study of the last days. We have pneumatology, the study of spirits, of the spirit, much more the Holy Spirit, though. Hallelujah. Now, we now have, you know, in all these studies, in all these studies that I just mentioned, it will be an irrelevant study if it is not the Christology. Do you understand me? So, meaning every study in the scripture must be centered on Christ. It must be a Christ study. Do you understand me? If you are studying about the spirit outside Christ, do you understand me? If you are having a study on pneumatology outside Christ, it's a business study. Do you understand me? It's a business study. Any study outside the Christology in the scripture is not a study. Do you understand? So therefore, we will say Christology is Bible explanation. Christology is Bible explanation, is Bible study. Any study outside Christ is not the study of the scriptures. Because the scriptures is centered on Christ. Hallelujah. Genesis 1, Christ. Genesis, Christ. Exodus, Christ. Leviticus, Christ. Numbers, Christ. Centered on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, I said, Christ is the explanation of the scriptures. Let's see that. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. It says, God, who at sundry times, who at various times, and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, as in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all these things, through whom he also made the world. Let's look at that critically. He says, God, who at sundry times. The word sundry times is the word polymeros. Polymeros, it's a compound word of polos and meros. Polos and meros. Now, the word polos implies various, implies many. Do you understand me? Many. God who had various times. Do you understand me? Various times. Sundry times. Polos. Several times. Now, he now said, meros is the word that means a section. You know, I said it's a compound word of polos and meros. Now it means, now the word meros means a section, a portion, or a share. A section. It implies a section, a portion, or a share. Now it means God who had several, or God whom at several times in little portions. Do you understand me? Did you get that? God was several times in portions. Do you understand? Now, he now is another word, diverse manners, right?
right? Diverse manner. God who had sundry times and diverse manner. That word diverse manner is the word polytropos.
P-O-L-U-T-R-O-P-O-S. Polytropos.
It's another compound word of polos and tropos.
We'll see what polos means. It means various.
Now, tropos will not deal with,
but to deal with mode, style,
and ways.
So God in diverse ways.
Do you understand me?
Diverse ways, diverse mode, diverse deals, diverse styles.
Do you understand that?
Did you get that? Polymeros, polychoros. Now, we cannot say,
so in different portions, in various portions of truth, in a progressive form, God spoke through the prophet.
Did you get that?
Take that again.
In different portions. Remember I said polymeros means different portions of truth, right? Various portions of truth at several places with several styles.
Who wants
an amplified version here?
Let me read from the amplifier so that you get it. Let me show you how the amplifier will put it. Don't worry. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 1, verse 1. He says, look at how the amplifier will put it. He says, Philippians. Now he says, God, having spoken to the fathers long ago in voices and writings of the prophets, and in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of truth, and in many ways. Did you see that? A portion of truth in many ways. So, meaning at different point, God was speaking. Hallelujah. You get that? At different point, you find God speaking in diverse ways. Hallelujah. There's an, and he spoke through the prophet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spoke through the prophet. Now let's continue. He then says, and at in these last days, right? I'll take it again from verses 1. He said, God who at various times and in various ways. Let's take it the way we've explained. God who has in different portions of truth, in a progressive form, in diverse ways, right? Spoke to the fathers by the prophet. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all. Now remember I said, if you have the word all, it means all this. You must look at it in context. So when he said, who he had made heir, meaning of all. Now, let's look at the context. What is the all there? All the words of the prophets. So Jesus is the heir of all the words of the prophets. Do you understand me? What does that tell you? That means the whole writings of the prophets are centered on Christ. The whole words of the prophet are centered on Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that is how you know who a prophet is, because they speak about Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So the all is in what? All these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the question that becomes very pertinent is, how was Christ ministered in the Old Testament? That becomes the question that is pertinent. He said, how was Christ ministered in the Old Testament? How was he ministered? Galatians 3:8. How was Christ ministered?
Remember, we're looking at what?
We are looking at the concept of righteousness. Hallelujah. We're looking at the Hallelujah. We're looking at the concept of righteousness. But we need to lay the background. These are we are still on introduction. Hallelujah. Righteousness, and we're talking about how was Christ ministering. Yes, how was he ministering? Because when we begin to look at righteousness, you already have this already. You already have all this in your mind. Hallelujah. Did you get that? As we now talk about righteousness. Do you understand? So how was Christ ministered in the Old Testament? Let's look at that. Galatians 3. How was Christ ministered in the Old Testament? You know, it's very important we look at this as we study on the concept of righteousness. Because we're going to look at righteousness of the Old Testament. And if you don't know how the Old Testament is written, you can't understand what we are talking about. Hallelujah. So it's very important we see this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's very important we see this. Galatians 3 verse 8. How was Christ ministered in the Old Testament? Did you understand why we are looking at all this now? You understand? Because we are discussing righteousness, the concept of righteousness in the scriptures. And for us to discuss it, we must discuss it from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Hallelujah. So before we get discussing it, let's see how the Old Testament is written. Let's see, do you understand me? What is the center feature of the Old Testament? Because we need it as we study. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:8. It says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Hey, look at this again. It says, and the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Stop. I thought Abraham is a Jew. Did you see that? Did you see that? As we progress, we will discover that Abraham was not a Jew. Do you understand? Abraham was not a Jew when he received the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he said the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. When he said that, he's quoting where? Genesis 12, verse 3. Let's look at Genesis 12, verse 3. Wow, go there. Right? We've been taught, when you see a mention in the Old Testament, you go through it. Right? Hallelujah. Genesis 12, verse 3. From verse 1. And the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. When he said this, listen. What is the explanation of this? First of all, we have been told by Paul in Galatians that when God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 2, God was preaching to him. Do you understand that? Because this word, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, we have that in Genesis 12, in Genesis 22. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. When that word was spoken to Abraham, Galatians told us God preached to Abraham. Did you see that? He said, God, foreseeing that the Gentiles would be justified by faith, preached beforehand the gospel to Abraham. So meaning, Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God was preaching to Abraham. Hallelujah.